his early light, what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. So gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
And welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three already here in the Bayou City on this Sunday morning. All right, let's run down to Port Mansfield. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz, see what she's up to this morning. Good morning, Rihanna.
Good morning, Mickey. How are you?
Oh, couldn't be better. It's all good. Got you on the horn this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm
awesome.
Man, fishing here in Port Mansfield's been it's been quite a ride. You know, post full moon stuff, you know how it goes. Gosh, we've been getting so much rain, and all the rain's been out west of us, between, you know, Port Mansfield and, you know, there's a back road that goes over to Harlingen.
Right.
And I always like to take that road. I don't like to get on the highway and avoid traffic and whatnot. It's a lot of more leisurely.
You like me,
drive.
Back roads kind of person. I like back roads.
Oh yeah, avoid the traffic, just take it easy, listen to music, you know, just take my time. But that, we've been getting a lot of rain out in that area, and in Port Mansfield too. I mean, all the ditches, you know, going down, I guess it's Highway 186 that runs right into Port Mansfield. All the ditches are full, and that rain is just sitting there. You know, the tide's so high right now that water doesn't seem like it have anywhere to go, and we were getting rain on top of that. You know, little storms are building up. It seems like every day, you know, I'll be fishing in West Bay, or I'll be fishing, you know, East Flats, and I'll just see that black start to build up to the west. I'm like, oh, there's some more rain coming.
Yeah, I saw a picture yesterday Sally put on Facebook, and it said big trout at the end of the rainbow, and it showed this rainbow in the background with a storm cloud. That was a cool photo.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty sights out there with those storms in the horizon. You know, that water, you know, we have one area in West Bay where all that water comes into that estuary back there. You know, I guess that little river runs into the Arroyo City.
Uh-huh.
And so all the water that's out west, it drains out into that. And man, it looks like tea, you know, tea-like color on top. And then on bottom, you know, you can brush your hand through it, and then on the bottom see that green tint type color water. But the bait fish is just insane. I mean, I had some clients this last week, and we went out in the West Bay, and places where you normally can't get to, we were fishing. because it was just so deep. Any other place you went, you know, it's just when it gets to above waist deep to about navel deep, I'm like, I can't do this. We got to find some.
Come on, shorty. Let's go neck deep. Let's get them.
Yeah, which for somebody that's, you know, a little bit taller than me, that's no big deal, but I stay shallow. Yeah, you know, I'm vertically challenged, so fishing in that deeper water is a challenge.
That would just nickname you low tide.
There you go. I'll take it. Yeah, well, those clients of mine, they were a little bit taller than me, and so they were able to kind of get away with it. So we found some shallow water, and I mean, the bait fish was just absolutely thick. We could hear it first thing in the morning. It was a bait line, and it was a little bit behind us, and it was running from south to north, and behind us, you could just hear crashing, just...
Oh, boy.
I was like, man, it's coming. I said, it was, you know, you could start to see that, you know, that slick line in the water, and it was moving. I mean, the water was boiling, absolutely boiling with bait. And I said, here they come. I said, y'all get ready. And so that bait fish just ran up, you know, right through us, and it was game on. And there were birds working, and that bait fish, I mean, it was adrenaline rushing type stuff. I was like, I told one of my clients, I'm like, man, there's a couple things that get my adrenaline rushing. This is one of them, seeing all this. I said, because, you know, there was a couple of birds above us, and those birds, they'll come over and they'll stir up and they make that bait fish go crazy. But there was, you could see their backs, you know, you could see, silver backs, and you could see those copper backs coming up out of the water, just V-waking through that bait. And I was like, man, they're here. It was awesome. So, you know, the bite was very interesting. You know, it's always like this post full moon. It's almost like it was a very quick bite, you know, early in the morning, maybe about 45 minutes to a little over an hour is the time frame right now. You know, it was like, you better have your line wet and you better be fishing hard in that little tiny time frame, because that's when they're eating. And other outside of that, you know, the bite was really weird. They were snapping at it. They were all hooked like right in front, right at the tip of their mouth, you know. So it was kind of like a little nibble. And I caught a nice trout this last week, and I didn't know she was hooked. I didn't even know she was on the line till I, you know, I jigged up and I felt something. I was like, man, there's something on there. And I set the hook and she was just kind of darting around. I said, man, I don't got her hooked right. And I got her up to where I could see her, and, you know, she was a decent trout, 23, 24. And I said, my guys were next to me. I said, man, she's not hooked right. She's going to get off. Sure enough, she did. But that's the kind of bite that it's been here lately. And always, you know, I've noticed after a full moon, even right before a full moon and during a full moon, the bite is a little, you know, weird in the mornings. You know, you usually they're already slicking early in the morning, and then they won't feed till later in the afternoon, which a lot of my guys, you know, they don't want to fish that late in the day, which I understand. You know, some guys, they gotta get back home, or they have other plans for the day, or, you know, it's just too hot that time of day. And it's still hot, man. It's the water temperature up shallow, you know, was in the mid to upper 80s. But out there where it was deeper, of course, where we've been getting that fresh water that's been coming into that estuary there in West Bay, you can feel little patches of colder water. You know, you'll be walking along and it's a little bit warm, and then all of a sudden you walk through a colder patch of water. And so, you know, in that, I truly think that when the water temperature is warmer and hotter, you get all that fresh water, that those, you gotta know those fish seek that cooler temperature water. I know if I was a fish, I'd rather be in that cooler water than in that hotter, you know, and it was warm way up shallow. Of course, the shallower the water, the cooler it's going to take a shorter time to cool down and heat back up. And it's clear, you know, and there here in Mansfield, it's, you know, we've got scattered grass beds and the water's really clear. We've got turtle grass, which filtrates the water very well. And we've got shoal grass too, but mainly it's a lot of turtle grass. And so it keeps that water beautiful. And so when that sun comes up and it gets high enough, man, it starts heating it back up quick. You know, of course, when I was fishing and baffin, we'd get way, way up shallow in that cooler water that had cooled down overnight. But man, come 10 o'clock, you know, 11 in middle summer, it was already starting to warm up and it was warming up fast. So, you know, I'm always looking and feeling as I'm walking through the water, feeling for, you know, certain temperature water. And then of course, certain depth as well. And, you know, I like to stay mid thigh deep. Water anywhere I go, that's what I look for. Mm-hmm. Chalky, a little bit chalky, stained water where I can get away with throwing something darker. And we've been, of course, up shallow. We're throwing colors like Bone Diamond, and I think that one that's white with the chartreuse tail, it's got a little bit of silver. I think it's called I want to say Midnight Hour. No, it's not Midnight. It's that little John XL. It's got a chartreuse tail, and it's white on the main part of the body. But anyways, it's a really good lure for clear water. We've been throwing that color as well. We'll throw down south every once in a while. That new lure that Michael built this last year, I guess it was... I think it's called the Big Smooth. It's a straight tail. It's got a hinge on it. We threw that one this last week, too. They produced some really good bites. Trout love that little lure, and I like it. It's got a lot of hinge action on it. But the only thing I don't like about that lure is how soft it is. You know, a couple bites, small trout, they tear it up.
They do.
Absolutely tear it up. It's the same thing like with the gambler ones, the gambler lures. I used to throw those while back.
That's what my son loves. He loves throwing those gambler flapping shads.
Yes. They
one of his favorite baits.
Yeah. Well,
let me knock
really
his break out, Rihanna. Hang on a second. I'll be right back at you. Hang with me.
Okay. I'll be here.
All right. Well, folks, I need to take a moment to tell you about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. Located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. There's no better way to leave your bait than with their oxygen response system. They have them on display there at the store. Check out all their different size bottles, all their regulators and diffusers, and no better way to live your live bait or your tournament fish. More info, call Jason at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff seafood. If you're looking for the big 912 guff shrimp, they've always got them. Great price, great availability. And their Cajun Grill next door, they put out some really good food there also. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. You know, today's the first day of fall, believe it or not, our autumnal equinox. It'll begin today at 8:44 a.m., according to the Farmer's Almanac, and which equals great tides. We just call them bull tides, but you'll experience a lot stronger high tides than normal, and that's good. Makes for some good fall fishing. We can just get some cool weather and cool the water down a little bit, get shallow, and watch those fish just pour into the flats by the millions. I wish. All right, let's go back to Rihanna and talk to her. All right, Rihanna, we're back.
I'm here, Mickey.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you mentioned that. It's crazy how time flies. And
We're in our fall tides now, just like we get in March, our spring tides, you know.
And we sure are. Golly, I'm surprised I'm not floating away by now.
We got weather entering the Gulf this week, so that ought to pump a little water in your way, you know.
Man, here we go. I saw it. I'm like, here we go again. You know, every time I see something that builds up or that's potentially going to build up, I just kind of cringe, you know.
It's nerve-wracking.
It is. It sure is.
You really don't have that much time, especially down where you're at. You know, you're closer to Yucatan there. And when those storms come across that peninsula and get in the Bay of Campeche, it's time to duck and run.
Yeah. Time to hook up and head north.
Head north.
I always worry about that, but it's part of living on the coast, you know.
Yeah.
It comes with the package. You got to accept the good with the bad sometimes. And
we have a lot more good than bad, though. That's the good part.
Yeah, y'all always get a lot of rain up in y'all's country over there. I think it's just how the coastal bend is, you know, just the way from Rockport north, y'all always get rain. And then here in Baffin, I always say we're in like the no rain vortex. It always fizzles out or separates between us, and I'm like, man, we're not getting any rain over here, but it'll sure pour north of us. Corpus Christi, north side of Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. Rockport always gets hammered, and then north of Rockport up to where you're at, man, y'all get a lot of rain. I've got several clients that live over there in the Galveston area, and they're like, man, we're getting rain every day. It seems like every day it's been raining. I'm like, golly, well, send some of that over here.
We've dried out. We could probably use an inch or two right now.
Yeah, we've been getting some rain. Of course, we've been getting rain in Port Mansfield, and Baffin's been getting a couple of storms here and there, which is good because sometimes it just, man, it seems like a desert, you know. The ground is so dry. And then the sandy, you know, we've got sandy loam over there, so sometimes that water just, if you get a real big heavy rain and there's nothing but sandy loam in the area, it'll just kind of filter off. It won't, you know, if you get a lot of rain in a small portion of time or small little, you know, it'll run off real quick. Now when you get a slow soaking rain, that sandy loam will absorb that water a lot better. But when you get all that runoff, you know, Kingsville, west of Baffin, It'll all come through, you know, through the Cayo, up in the Cayo, up and through Alazon, and then the Salada, what I call the fingers right. of Daphne. And it'll bring in all that, you know, tea-like color. It'll look like tea. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen it. It's just a line. Either you could just see that distinctive line of fresh water and then salt water. And in the summertime, when we get those really, really low tides, high pressure just lingering over us, and the water back there gets so salty. And then all of a sudden, here comes fall. Here comes, you know, dove season time, and it just pours and pours and pours. And it'll come in, and then you could see that distinctive line of fresh water and salt water. And, man, that's where I like to get. I'll fish that line and just
color changes.
Hammer.
Man, good fishing.
Gosh, I've had some huge thumps on soft dines fishing, you know, watercolor changes like that after a big rain. Just fish the low, you know, mid to lower column, just easy work that little soft on, and she just wham, hammers. I'm like, oh my goodness, I love fishing those color changes like that. So
yes,
you know, I just got back to Port Mansfield, seemed like not too long ago, and I got some clients, good clients of mine. They're like, man, you know, tell me when you're going to be back in Bath. And I was like, man, I'm already back down here. I said, but if you want to fish 2 or 3 days in Bath, and I'm down to go back. And they're like, we'll do that. So I'll be back in Bath in early October. So I've got a lot of other folks that still want to fish Bath. And so,
well, I'll tell you, you know, the way y'all fish have rebounded really great. Y'all are setting up for a really good fall and winter.
Yes, I believe so. You know, every year it this seems to happen. This is the pattern that I've noticed over the years, is whenever we start getting those really big cold fronts, which is in usually mid to late October when those cold fronts come through the lower coast, you'll start to notice the shrimp moving out. You'll see less and less shrimp, you know, in areas in Bath, and so when that happens, it seems like they move out to deeper water, and ultimately, you know, I guess their final destination is into the Gulf. And so November, December months in Bath can be tough, because I think naturally, you know, when the bait moves out, when the, you know, the main food source, which, I mean, I think if it came down to either a mullet or a shrimp, I think a trout's going to go over the shrimp rather than the mullet. You know, I guess maybe depends on the size and how big they're feeding at that time. But when the shrimp move out, I think naturally the fish are going to kind of fall with, and it'll kind of displace them for a little bit. You know, and then once the shrimp move out, then that's when the bays become mainly mullet driven. And when those mullet get kind of gorged like they do, you know, I always think that a corky mimics the look of a gorged, injured mullet. And so that's when I'll really focus on throwing those corkies. I mean, I'll throw them year round. I have nothing against throwing them year round. I've got clients that throw broken back corkies all year round. I throw soft lines all year round. But whenever I notice the shrimp starting to leave, you know, our bays, and they're starting to move out, and then I see mainly mullet, big mullet. These, you know, these trout are eating mainly, you know, bigger size mullet. That's when I'll really focus on throwing corkies, which is usually November, December. Even in late October, when we start getting those, typically when we start seeing those major cold fronts that start rolling in, you know, that are blowing 30, gusting 35, you know, and it's a really cool cold front. I know last year the big cold front we had was, I want to say it was in late October, and I had a trip the day before. it was either the day of that cold front came in or it was the day before, but we fished in Baffin and we caught some really nice trout. They were slick, and I mean, it was a wonderful day. And then after that cold front came in, and after that cold front came in, the fishing got tough. It started to, every day it seemed like it started to get tougher and tougher and tougher. It changes the, you know, we're right now we're still basically in summer, late summer patterns, you know, even with the high tides the way they are, we're still lingering around the summer fishing patterns. And then once those cold fronts start coming in, then that's when it becomes a little bit tougher. You know, you have to kind of transition to a different kind of pattern because, you know, the bait fish is moving around. When those cold fronts come in, it's going to naturally move around, you know, bait and fish are going to fall with. And it's always an interesting time of year, you know, and oftentimes it can be a frustrating time of year. I know last year I stayed in Baffin for that time, and it was tough. We were scrounging for a big trout bite. And I said, you know what, in December, it was like in late November, December, I started going down to Mansfield. And I was like, I see. I see what's going on. And, you know, it was just like, man, you know, it got frustrating. You know, even for clients of mine, I've told them, I was like, man, the bite is just really tough. You know, because most of my guys, they want to catch a big trout. And we were scrounging for a bite. And we had already gotten quite a few cold fronts at that time.
Yeah, you get those fronts real quick like that, and it drops that water temperature so much, it kind of,
right.
I don't know whether it shocks the fish, it just changes everything. You go through a bad stretch for about a week till you can get, you know, and develop a new pattern, get them
going
again.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, you know, Baffin is a different animal, too,
yeah.
So it's always tough later in the year when we go through that little summer to fall transition and we start getting those cold fronts, but when that shrimp starts to move out, you know, heads down south, or it goes up north, up, you know, goes into deeper water, and so when that happens, it always seems like the bite turns on in Mansfield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever it turns off in Baffin, it seems like the bite gradually turns on further south and further south and further south.
Two different animals right next to each other.
Yes. It's just crazy how that happens. You know, I always scratch my head and I'm like, man, I hope one day I totally figure it out. But that's never going to happen. You know, the day someone figures it out, it's going to be easy. And I don't want it to be easy. I always want it to be a challenge. Every day out there to me is a challenge. You know, this post full moon bite to me is always a challenge. If I could pick one moon phase to fish my whole entire life, it would be on a new moon. It would be on
new
a new moon.
Moon. See, and I'm just the opposite. My favorite's right before and during the first couple of full moons.
Yep.
That's when and it's different up here than it is down there.
Absolutely.
And caught some of my biggest trout and biggest stringers on, you know, full moons or right before.
Yep. I will say the biggest trout I've ever seen was on a full moon. And it was that topwater story. I think I've told it probably twice on the show already. And it was the biggest trout that I saw. And it was on a full moon. She didn't want it. She just showed herself and said, I'm here. You know, she's like, I'm here, just showing you that I'm here, but you're not going to catch me today. So, yeah, that was, I still dream about that trout. You know, of course, in the water, you just never know, I mean, how big a fish is until you actually hold her in your hands. And you put her
true.
Up on that
boat. Water kind of magnifies them a little bit.
It sure
does. That's why you always hear about the big one that got away.
Absolutely. There's always that one big one that got away, you know.
Oh, always.
I saw a video the other day. Somebody posted of a trout swimming in the water. I think it was in Galveston. And it looked pretty big. It was just kind of swimming on top of the water. Tail was out, kind of her back was out. And it looked like it was in a harbor or somewhere where there was deep. It was deep, wherever it was.
Right.
And I was like, man, you know, it's hard to tell when, you know. Of course, everybody's going to say it's a 28 to 32. It looked big. I will say it. So, you know, it looks like a pretty big, good-sized trout.
Yeah.
But
32
water,
up here is just monstrous. Our fish just don't grow that long. I mean, not to say there's not. We have them, but they're real rare. Most of our fish break at 28 inches.
Yeah.
28, 29, that's exceptional.
Right.
Well, we have 26-inch trout here that when they're, you know, the right time of the year, they'll weigh 9 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a little different strain, but
Well,
Rihanna, I'm out of time already, hon. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing Mansfield or Baffin with you, give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
All right. Well, my number is 361-296-5400. I will be fishing in Baffin early October. So if you want to get here in Baffin, I'll be fishing. I'm opening up dates October 6th through October 13th. So give me a call and let's get after them.
Cool deal. All right. Well, you catch them up. You have a good week and, we'll keep an eye on the tropics, and I'll talk to you next Sunday.
Yes, sir. You take care, Mickey.
Hey, later. Always a pleasure. See you, girl. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. That's Rihanna De La Cruz down in Port Mansfield, Baffin area. She fishes both. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. You know, bow season's right around the corner, and deer season's not far behind that. No better place to have your wild game process in the Belleville Meat Market. I've been using them for years. Nothing beats the quality, the packaging, everything, the service. It's all great. And their meat market, you can't beat it either. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their bulk pricing. They have that available on their fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage, along with homemade hamburger patties. Hot dogs, they're available for all of your cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or a half calf available for pre-order, they custom process that for you also. You can call and have that done ahead of time. And their wild game processing, it's open year-round. So if you have any remaining needs before deer season, you want to get it turned into sausage or what have you, give them a call. They'll hook you up. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment on this Sunday morning. And no better way to end it up. Let's go down to Matagorda and check in with our good friend, Captain Bink Grimes, Sunrise Lodge. What's up, man?
I'm sitting here at the harbor.
Yep, no duck blanding this morning. You going fishing?
Yeah, it was a little different morning. I got the same guys that I had yesterday. They just it was kind of slow yesterday. I mean, it wasn't slow traffic wise. We had a lot of birds, but man, everything was high and it just didn't work out. I mean, we shot a few, but they said, hey, you think we go fishing instead tomorrow? I said, yeah, let's do that. That's fine. But I really wish we were there right now because, man, we got 10 mile an hour southeast wind, and I ain't hunted wind in teal season yet.
Every morning.
What I saw yesterday, man, it was really encouraging. Like I said, we didn't get them to cooperate like I wanted them to, but, man, I saw just a lot of high birds. And what that tells me is, and they weren't wanting to do anything. It's like they were just getting here. And so I kind of wanted to see what was going to happen this morning. But
well, you know, Richard, I was talking to him the other morning. He was talking about Conroe was loaded with them up there. So, you know, they just showed up. So that's those late flyers just now getting down here, I think.
It is. And, man, I tell you, the first week of teal season has been – you know, the first opening weekend, and, you know, like I talked to y'all in the blind last Sunday, I didn't get that early flight. And I'm telling you, as soon as I hung up the phone at 7 o'clock with y'all.
I got your text.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I wasn't even home from the studio yet, and you said you were already through. That's crazy, man.
It was 15 minutes to just, I mean, getting after. They just showed up.
Go figure.
Uh-huh. And then,
well, they slept in on you that morning.
They did. Well, it was a dark morning, you know. It was just one of those deals. And man, we got a little hint of light, and man, here they come. So, this week has been, you know, we've had to hunt a little longer. We've shot them pretty good this week, but just hadn't had much of a weather change at all. And it's kind of, yesterday, I really had high hopes for yesterday too, because on Saturdays, you got everybody in the country, in the bay and on the wildlife management areas, you know, that are hunting.
Right.
So
a lot of pressure to get them moving.
Yeah. And I saw lots of traffic. It's just, you know, it's kind of like one of those deals where you scratch your head, even fishing-wise. You demand the weather's good. We should be catching them, but we're not. You know, it's just these are wild birds, and they just decided to do something different on me yesterday. You know, just the way it goes. So, but yeah, we're gonna continue to hunt them this week. But, you know, overall, it's kind of been – you know, I write the Central Flyway Report for Ducks Unlimited, and so I have to talk to, you know, of course, me and you both, we've got so many buddies from here, from every county in Texas that are, you know, the UTECs, and they'll tell you what's going on. So we got a pulse of what's going on, and it's just, the prairies all week, you know, have had fog on them all week, so that's hurt things. You know, you've got a teal flight. Teal are going to fly the first hour and a half. And, man, if you've got fog, it's over with. If it burns off at 9 o'clock, it's like – and you can't even if you're not hunting, you can't scout because you can't see them in the fog. So
right.
So the prairie has been inundated with fog. Now, we have it down here on the coast. Hasn't been, but you know, we had just large amounts of birds 20 days ago. Before the season even started, you know, when you've got 12 to 15 days of hard north winds in late August and early September, you know, those suckers showed up, and then you're sitting on a full moon, and we were all going, oh my gosh, there's so many birds here. When there's that many here, you go, oh man, we're gonna lose them with that moon, and that's what happened. And it's not because of hunting pressure; it's just they get on that moon and they roll because there's several ponds that were just loaded with birds that never got hunted, and those birds just sat on that moon and rolled out of here. And and so I had some good friends that went offshore on Tuesday that know they're duck hunters that know what to look for, and they were 30, 35 miles out and chasing a little farther on the way out, and they were chasing swordfish, and they said the whole day up in the stratosphere were big wads of teal heading south, and so crossing the Gulf, you know. So and I said, oh boy, you know, but that's what we're doing. That's what you're hunting. You're hunting a migratory game bird, you know. So
that's it.
But they could show up just as easy as they left. So we're gonna have a little north wind, I guess, what, Thursday.
Well, you get two and three waves of them coming through.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. You get two or three waves, and I believe we're on the second. I believe the second wave was here during the opening weekend. I think we didn't get to hunt the first wave. Yeah, first wave is usually
early.
Drakes. Yeah, I don't even think we got to hunt the drakes, but it's usually 80% drakes on the first weekend, and then, like, you know, so opening weekend, you know, you can look at the bag, and man, I had 50-50. I had 50% drakes, 50% hens.
Right.
Opening weekend, that tells me.
Well, that tells
man.
You
and
right
green,
there. You missed the first run. You know, the first wave.
Yeah, and green wings mixed in, and then I had a few,
darned.
And then I talked to my buddies in one of my buddies in Lissy up there. He said opening day, his first 13 birds were green wings. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
So that tells you. So we're waiting on the third wave now. So the third wave is going to be our mostly hens that raise a brood, so it'll be, but they've got to sit there and wait for that brood to be able to fly before they head down here. So that's what we're that's usually what the third wave is the hens with their brood. So expect to see some of those a little bit teal or small anyway, but expect to see just a little bit smaller teal with some of them, you know. And those birds act a little different too. They haven't seen a, you know, they hadn't heard a call or hadn't seen a mojo. Of course, we don't use mojos a whole lot, but they haven't seen all that, so they're a little bit more gullible than some of the other ones. So we got another week left of it, so we're gonna get a little weather change maybe Thursday, maybe hopefully.
Hopefully, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully it's out of the north and not out of the south.
Right, that's the truth.
No more.
I think what is it? Is it trending east right now, I think?
Yeah, it looks like, the cone of certainty or uncertainty, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever.
But Louisiana, Panhandle of Florida, not looking too good. But.
Oh.
And they did up the chance of development to 70% now.
Yeah, I don't wish it on anybody.
So we're going to have a storm and a gough next week. Mm-hmm. So we shall see.
Mm-hmm.
Alert. Well, how's your fishing holding up?
Bad. Good. Really good. We had about 10 boats out yesterday. So when I got done hunting, I went, as everybody was coming into the lodge and shoot it, it was good. It's pretty encouraging what's going on down here right now with our catches and it really is. It's encouraging because the tighter restrictions seem to be working and we're catching fish on plastics really good. I mean really good and
right.
We're not throwing We're not catching them, on the bottom like jigging like I'd like to. I don't really like throwing a cork, but we're throwing corks with long leaders where that plastic shrimp or bass assassin is bouncing, is about a foot off the bottom and keeping it in their face, and that's what's happening. That's how we're doing it, and throwing topwaters in the morning too. We're throwing topwaters when there's not a whole lot of boat traffic. That's hard to do on a Saturday, but in the middle of the week, man, we're throwing topwaters drifting and catching some good ones. It's been really encouraging. And there's a lot of, I don't know what happened with the storm surges. It had to be what happened with the storm surges that we've had. But, man, there's a ton of black drum in East Bay, and they are eating bass assassins just as fast as you want to throw them out there. I mean, good ones that, a good 17, 18 inch drum that tastes really good. And, so they're eating those too. So they're a little bycatch too, but our trout are just healthy. It just feels good to let go of those fish over 20 inches. And we don't, we really let go of those ones at 18, 19 too. We don't, there's no sense. I mean, they've gotten that far. Heck, that's one more that's going to have a chance to make it big, and it's been good. And sand trout starting to show up finally, people, they get, oh man, here's another little 7-8 inch sand trout. But man, we've caught some 13 to 14 really good ones that you can fillet out that are really healthy,
brother.
No, there's not. Those 7, 8, and 9 inchers are out there too. And, they're eating plastics too, but the thing is, when we got those, man, those big trout we got are shadowing those things. I mean, they love them. It's just something about East Bay, man. When those 7, 8, and 9 inch sand trout, when we're catching those, I tell them, man, we got a chance. The next one could, because I've seen so many times when you had those on, that big dog is shadowing him and trying to eat him off your hook,
exactly.
Every once in a while. But they're, it's a good meal for them, and that's what they're doing. I think that's one of the reasons why we grow a big trout down here too, is because we got so many those little sand trout. That food chain does wonders for them when everything's thriving on the bottom, on the bottom of the food chain. It's those big trout are.
Hell, it's
are
probably easier
here.
For a big trout to catch a sand trout.
No, it is.
Than it is a mullet.
It is. It is. That's exactly right. Exactly right. So that's what's happening. And a few redfish showing up too. In between, our tides have come up today. Looks like we're on that, you know, the equinox is what? What's today? The 21st or 22nd? What is today?
The 22nd, first day of fall.
Okay, so it is first day of fall. So today's autumn equinox. So it rose about another incoming tide was about 3/4 of a foot higher. It'll be the same way tomorrow. And
For the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, in the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So you'll get fresh recruits, the bait, and everything in here. And I tell you another thing, it'll move all this water will move. The teal that if they do show up, our bay hunters will have a better shot too, because that water will fill up those back lakes and make it ankle deep back there, and because that's kind of the way it was opening weekend, and then we lost the water, then we got it back, and I take that back. 2 weeks before, when we had all that storm surge, man, all those teal were all in the back of West Bay and all those back lakes and everything, so. That's probably what's going to happen this week, especially if that storm gets in the Gulf. It's going to blow up in tides. A lot of redfish at the jetty too. A lot of bullheads at the jetty right now too. Here, Fort O'Connor.
Well, this is prime conditions for the bullred spawn. I can tell you that. Run those eggs into the marsh after they're fertilized. Bring
there
it
is,
to us.
Yeah.
More babies.
You know. And tarpon off the beach too, man. I hadn't had a chance to chase them, but man, there's some good ones. There's some good ones down here. And you know, I don't know if I told y'all, but we had little 7-8 inch tarpon, that little slough right behind my lodge. One of my guys' kids throws a little topwater back there and caught 7 or 8 of them. And
really, that's cool. All right.
Oh man, real cool. And it had to come from the. Because it's not a tidal bio. It used to be, but it's cut off now. But so it had to be when that storm surge filled up my pool. That 9.5 foot storm surge filled up my pool in July. It must have dumped them in there. But that just shows you that those suckers responded. You know,
responding
to our rivers and everything. That's all that's showing. You know, you don't see the signs all the time, but that just shows you. You know, that it's still happening. And so that was pretty encouraging. Pretty encouraging. So.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, enjoy your trip today. Put them on some fish, and I'll talk to you next week. Somebody wants to get with you. Ben, give them some info how they can come down, bud.
Yeah, MatterhornSunriseLodge.com or 979-221-1705. And everybody have a good Sunday. And we'll try to get us a W in Minnesota, and we'll try to reduce that magic number to maybe 1 today.
Yeah, we're on 3 right now. Maybe we might get 1. One today.
We need the Rangers to beat the Mariners today.
Yeah, they, you know, we helped them last year. They need to help us. Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. Right. Well, Ben, you have a good one. Catch them up, bud.
Okay. Thank you.
Take it easy. Later. All right. That's Ben Grimes down in Matagorda. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early. Or not tomorrow, I'm sorry. Thursday morning bright and early at 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.